Welcome back, everybody. A lively discussion underway right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network about public employee unions. I want to thank all of the folks on the text and call lines, including a little shout out to Chad that is listening or watching, I should say, on the U of the Tube. Chad pointing out that there are unions that have their own internal disciplinary boards. Yep. Here's what I know from working at the city and the county. I am unaware of a union internal disciplinary board that the Milwaukee Police Department has. I don't think one of those exists. They have internal affairs, but that is considered employer action. And what IA can do or not do gets litigated. It gets bargained. Okay, so it's subject to bargaining. So that wasn't, I wasn't saying that some unions don't have internal disciplinary proceedings and that employees aren't brought up for discipline. That happens. The reality, and what I'll tell you I have seen firsthand at the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, is that when employee discipline occurs, suspension, suspension without pay, termination, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the union always defends the employee, even some of the most indefensible employees that you can imagine. Oftentimes, when there has been a police-involved shooting, the first person that will show up on scene, that will go in front of the cameras, is a union rep. Okay? Facts. So I'm not saying that, like, we can paint with a broad brush. But when it comes to public unions, there are some complexities here. They do not stand on all fours with the private sector union. I think, you know, again, the pension scandal in Milwaukee County laid the groundwork for Act 10. But it has had many negative unintended consequences. And my meta argument is, I think the constitutional underpinnings of Act 10 are completely specious. The idea that you can strip bargaining rights away from groups of employees, for some employees but not others, based on completely arbitrary characteristics, is totally false. Let's go to the phone lines. Thanks, everybody, for your patience. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you say what, sir?
Yeah, thank you. And I was a state employee, and I was, you know, in my union. I actually was a union steward and, you know, did some representation. In one case, I had to make a phone call to our human resources department because a bureau director had made the comment that he hoped no other women got pregnant in his section because one had to go out on maternity leave, and he was feeling pressed as what staffing levels were. And the woman who contacted me actually was pregnant at the time, and she was wondering how that was going to impact her career. So that the guy was kind of something else. But I mean, that for the getting back to the pension thing, for state employees, of course, when Act 10 rolled through, that Scott Walker rolled back, you know, the compensation, you know, by taking, you know, by making employees pay more for their pension than they had been, because that was something inserted into the whole compensation package back in the 80s when the government could not afford to give the state employees any raises that year. They said,
yes,
we'll contribute your portion toward the pension. And that was built into our salaries.
This is a huge point, Mark. And that is that salary increases weren't given in exchange for greater benefits. And so when Act 10 happened, this is how you ended up with these gross inequities, people in the same exact positions with the same job duties, with wildly different compensation levels that had nothing to do with their skill, efficiency, or effectiveness. That, to me, is how you undermine public confidence in government. That's how you disincentivize people from committing their entire lives to public service. It's how you disincentivize people entering public service. When people perceive their compensation and the way that compensation decisions are being made to be unfair, they will either, frankly, unethically and illegally go get theirs anyways, or they simply will duck out. Peggy from Brooklyn, what's up?
Yes, I was a state employee also. Yes, 1 year before Scott Walker, I got 6 raises in 1 month.
Mm.
And they actually totaled about $15 an hour because I was one of the senior techs that hadn't had a raise, and I was at the max of what I could get. but they were hiring youngsters coming in brand new at what I was making.
Yep.
So they made compensations, and then when Scott Walker came in and he rolled everything back,
yep,
I switched from the state to the feds, because the feds would pay me what I was making, and Scott Walker wanted to take all that away.
Yeah, Peggy, you make such a critical point. I hear this again and again and again. Because of the history of how benefits and salaries were and wages were bargained for public employee unions, once Act 10 stripped away all these rights, oftentimes you had people coming into positions negotiating for higher wages than their contemporary. It just, again, it led to incredible inequities all across the spectrum. What I will tell you is this. There is incredible pay compression in some of the most important government jobs. What's pay compression? Where, like, within a tiny band, you have people of all kinds of experience, expertise, seniority, and effectiveness levels. That isn't good. When you're trying to compensate people within these tiny little bands, it is really hard to keep your super performers and keep them motivated. And it's really hard to create disincentives for underperformance. I'll tell you that as a manager, it was very difficult. One of my main jobs every year when I was at Milwaukee County was to make sure that I was getting salary increases for my super performers. That was how I created an incentive structure where the underperformers eventually got the message, like, you're not going to see that extra money. And I moved away from purely tenure-based compensation systems, because that, to me, in my opinion and experience, doesn't create the best incentives. We got to take a quick break. I got one more caller on the lines. Peggy, if you had some other thoughts, I'll go back to you after this very quick break. We're going to come right back, finish up this discussion, and then we'll get into, how the heck is MAGA going to judge whether or not Donald Trump is effective? And if they can't really do that, what does that open the door to in terms of corruption and incompetence within government? Keep it locked, y'all. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC. Get your last thoughts in on Act 10, 855-752-4842.